This is Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole, with your host Sue Bushka from Bushka Retirement Solutions and Cole Bruner from Bushka Wealth Management. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Sue and Cole provide their clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here with the financial information you need are Sue and Cole.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Financially Speaking. I'm Cole Bruner from Bushka Wealth Management, and joining me this week is my mom, Sue Bushka, from Bushka Retirement Solutions, as well as our wonderful co-host, Tony Shore. Now, listeners, as you know, if you'd like to get any information from us about what we're talking about today, feel free to give us a call anytime at 715-355-4445 or visit our website, retirewithbushka.com. That's retire with BUSKA.com. And of course, while you're at the website, don't forget to check out the radio and TV show pages. You can check out some of our past episodes. You can also subscribe to the program on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And of course, you can also now view some of our on-demand webinars that we have out there on the website about important retirement topics. Our most recent one is about financial changes for 2024. So make sure you take a few minutes to look at that. Now, also, as we always mention, do not hesitate to reach out to us to schedule that face-to-face or virtual meeting. Of course, that is no cost, absolutely no obligation, and you can do so by calling 715-355-4445 or visiting retirewithbushka.com. And remember, you can schedule that in our WASA office, our Eau Claire office, or virtual if that's better for you. Now, during our careers, we understand paying taxes is often just a normal part of life. We make a salary. And some of that salary goes to taxes. Simple enough, right? But more people than you might think forget that retirement doesn't mean that you're off the tax hook. Depending on how much money you make, where that money comes from, and other factors, your tax situation in retirement could potentially be complicated. So during our show today, we're going to analyze how various types of retirement income are taxed and what you can do to manage those tax implications with the goal of positioning yourself for your ideal retirement. But before we adventure through the wonderful world of taxes, let's make sure to say hello to everyone here with us today. Sue and Tony. Tony, how are we doing this morning?
I'm doing good, but I have to laugh. The wonderful world of taxes.
Hey, I'm trying to pep it up here a little bit, Tony.
Yeah, I remember I loved that show every Sunday night as a kid growing up. The wonderful world of taxes.
Everybody tuned into that one, right?
Oh, no, it was the wonderful world of Disney. I almost forgot.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm doing great. I've been, trying to get out when the weather is nice, and we had a few almost record-setting days there, didn't we? But then... it seemed to get cold and wet again. Now, Sue, you're back on the show today. Glad to have you. How have you been?
I've been great. Just enjoying the nice days that we did have. But, yeah, it's been cold and rainy here the last couple of days. So
can't complain too much, though. We need the rain.
We do.
We really do.
We do
yeah,
need
we
the
need
rain.
The moisture. I'll tell you that.
Yes.
I know the farmers here in the Midwest are happy to see it right now. Actually,
absolutely.
So that's good. Now, this sounds like a great topic that we're talking about today here. And Cole, by the way, I guess I should ask how you've been, but I know you've been busy, right?
You know, you already know. Absolutely. Yeah, keeping busy over here, obviously. Tax season is finally drawing to an end. So I know that Carl, our accountant on our team here, is very happy to be drawing that to a close and not having to be working 60 hours a week to make sure all of our tax returns got processed in a timely manner. But we filed almost 400 tax returns for clients this year, which is really surprising. Yeah, we've seen a massive increase in our number of tax returns processed for our clients over the last several years since implementing that service. And I know that our clients really appreciate being able to have that all done in one place with the collaboration of their financial team as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great to have it all there under one roof. And I know that you and Sue like to look at the big picture, and taxes are a part of that. And to have the tax professionals right there to help your clients with that aspect, whether it's, doing each year's taxes or looking ahead toward
their tax situation later in retirement. It's right. all very important. And speaking of that, that's what we're talking about today, taxes in retirement. And I know that, you know, it's a good time of year to have this chat looking ahead. Taxes can be something that I think give retirees or near retirees anxiety, right, Sue?
Well, that's exactly right, Tony, because taxes can actually cause anxiety. But with the right strategy, regular check-ins with your financial services professional and keeping yourself updated about legislative changes can really help you move forward with confidence. Now, there was a Kiplinger article that was entitled How 13 Types of Retirement Income Get Taxed, and it best describes how many of our common retirement income tools are taxed and how you can build a financial strategy that handles your tax requirements. Now, it might be helpful to view your taxes like this. Now, as you get closer to retirement, you might be thinking about Caribbean vacations, learning how to paint, or weekends full of laughter with your grandkids. And those are just really great plans, but while imagining those things, you really should sit down with your financial services professional and tax professional to actually craft a plan for taxes that provide you with as much flexibility as possible.
Yeah, and I know for a lot of our listeners out there, they might be thinking, hey, the idea of putting together a tax strategy is, that sounds overwhelming to me. But if you work with a team like you have there, it can make the whole thing so much easier.
Oh, absolutely, Tony. Now, that article begins by addressing traditional 401ks and IRAs. Now, at first, these tax-deferred accounts may shrink your taxable income, which could save you money during your current tax year. And the growth on the savings, dividends, and investment gains inside of these accounts are tax-deferred. But don't lose sight of the fact that down the road, you're going to have to pay taxes on that money once you begin taking withdrawals from those accounts. Those taxes pertain to gains and pre-tax or deductible contributions, Tony.
Right. And as you've reminded us many times, Sue, you can't delay withdrawals forever, can you?
No, you got that right. And as the article tells us, required minimum distributions, or RMDs, begin at age 73 for those with traditional 401ks and IRAs. If you stay on the job longer, you may be able to delay RMDs from your current employer's 401k until you officially retire, as long as you don't own more than 5% of the company you're employed with. Now, thanks to 2023 Secure Act 2.0, the RMD age rises to 75 in 2033. Also, remember that the tax rate that you'll pay on traditional 401ks and IRA withdrawals will be taxed at your ordinary income rate. And furthermore, if you take out money before you reach 59 and a half, you may see a 10% penalty on top of your regular tax bill.
Well, yeah, and speaking for myself, I don't want to have to pay 10% in penalties because of early withdrawals. That's reason to run as fast as possible to your financial service professional's office to come up with better options, right?
Oh, absolutely, Tony. And we should also take a few minutes to examine Roth IRAs, which are helpful to some people because while your Roth contributions are not tax deductible when you make them, your future withdrawals could potentially be tax free. There are some other things that you should be aware of with Roth IRAs, though. First, you're required to have possessed your Roth IRA account for a minimum of 5 years before taking any tax-free withdrawals. The clock starts the moment that money is deposited into your account, whether that's done with a contribution or a conversion from a traditional IRA. And next, while you are permitted to withdraw the amount that you've contributed at any time tax-free, you're generally required to be at least 59 and a half to withdraw gains without facing that extra 10% early withdrawal penalty.
Okay. So what are some of the tax implications then for Social Security? Because that's the foundation of so many people's retirement income.
Well, Tony, a lot of Social Security recipients won't be hit with tax on their payments, but some will, depending on their total income. In fact, some people could end up paying federal income tax on up to 85% of their benefits, again, depending on their total income. In 2024, if your provisional income is less than $25,000 or $32,000 for married couples filing a joint return, your Social Security benefits are tax-free. Now, if your provisional income is between $25,000 and $34,000 or between $32,000 and $44,000 for joint filers, as much as 50% of your benefits are taxable. Now, last, if your provisional income is larger than $34,000 or $44,000 for joint filers, as much as 85% of your benefits may be taxable.
And a lot of people don't even think their Social Security can be taxed, but it really can. And up to 85% of it can be subject to tax, according to what you're saying. So you definitely want to avoid that. Now, we should take a quick break here. But before we do, Cole, let our listeners know how they can get a hold of you.
Well, Tony, they can give us a call at 715-355-4445, or they can visit our website, retirewithbushka.com. That's retirewithbushka.com. And, of course, they can reach out to us with any questions related to taxes in their retirement or your overall financial strategy. And, of course, don't forget, you can schedule that complimentary, no-obligation consultation with one of our advisors anytime.
When you think of a puzzle, what would you say is the most important piece? A corner? A side piece? I would argue the most important piece of a puzzle is the picture on the box, and the same can be said for your retirement. Cole Bruner and Sue Bushka from Bushka Retirement Solutions would love to show you your retirement picture. For more information, call 715-355-4445 or visit their website at retirewithbushka.com.
Welcome back to Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore, and I'm here with our hosts, Sue Bushka and Cole Bruner. And today we are asking the ever important question.
What is your tax plan?
What is your tax plan, right? And you need one for retirement, not just for looking back at the last year. Your taxes were just due here recently, but more than tax returns for the past year, you need to look ahead, and you guys have talked about Social Security, Roth IRAs, traditional 401ks and IRAs. What do you have next?
Well, Tony, that Kiplinger article I mentioned in the first segment, how 13 types of retirement income get taxed, next details pensions. Now, though they certainly aren't as common as they used to be, some people still add pension income to their financial strategies. Now, pensions are funded with pre-tax money, and that means that if you have a pension, it becomes taxable once you begin withdrawals. Now, typically, payments from both government and private pensions are taxed at your ordinary income rate if you haven't made after-tax contributions to your plan.
Okay, so for a lot of retirees, then, stocks, bonds, and mutual funds are part of essential to their retirement income. A lot of people pull income in retirement from those. What are the tax implications of those, Cole?
Well, Tony, the article explains that if you sell stocks, bonds, or mutual funds that have been held for at least 1 year, your money is going to be taxed at long-term capital gains rates, which are 0%, 15%, or 20%. Now, when you compare those numbers to the top ordinary income tax rate of 37%, the difference is pretty vast. Now, those three percentages, 0, 15, and 20, are determined by specific income caps that are adjusted each year for inflation. In 2024, the 0% rate is applicable to people with taxable incomes of up to $47,025 for single filers, $63,000 for head of households, and $94,050 for joint filers. The 20% rate begins at $518,900 for single filers, $551,250 for head of households, and $583,750 for joint filers.
Ah, okay. And that makes sense. And I think a lot of people retire with 401ks or traditional IRAs. So, and that's usually in the market, or they might have a portfolio outside of those as well. So it's important to know how those will be taxed. and you talked about the 0 and 20% rates there. What about the 15% rate?
Well, the 15% rate impacts those with taxable income between 0 and 20%. So first note that there's a 3.8% surtax on net investment income. That's on top of the 15% or 20% capital gains for single filers with modified adjusted gross incomes more than $200,000 or $250,000 for joint filers. And that 3.8% additional tax required on either the smaller of net investment income or the excess of modified gross income more than $200,000 or $250,000 figures that I just highlighted.
Okay, so obviously this is really important to understand how all this works, and it can get complex, but if our listeners have questions, they can give you a call. What about taxes if I sell at a loss? I can help make up for some taxes I owe if I have a loss, right? I get to write that off.
That is true, Tony. It's pretty straightforward, actually. If you sell at a loss, the amount may offset capital gains for the year, in addition to as much as $3,000 of other income. Now, keep in mind that you can carry forward excess losses indefinitely, but they're subject to the same tax treatment until those losses end.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. And that's kind of what I thought it was, but I just wanted to clarify that. But also, it seems like the potential tax implications for stocks, bonds, mutual funds are complex enough that you want to make sure you're working with a financial professional. That's the solid move here, right, Sue?
That's right. And I think that's really an excellent point. Now, let's next look at dividends. Now, it's very common for retirees to own stock, whether directly or via mutual funds. The article describes that for tax purposes, dividends that are paid by companies to their stockholders are generally treated as qualified. Now, less typically, those dividends are considered non-qualified. Now, qualified dividends are taxed at the long-term capital gains rate, now I described earlier, and non-qualified dividends are taxed at your ordinary income rate. Now, many times, shareholders must keep stock for a fixed amount of time before they can take complete advantage of capital gains rates for dividend payments. So, for example, dividends paid on common stock must be held for at least 60 days inside the period that begins 60 days prior, and that concludes 60 days after the day the company announces a dividend payment.
Okay, so on previous shows, we've talked about how some people have financial strategies that include annuities because they want to use those to generate retirement income. How are annuities taxed? I've always wondered this.
Well, Tony, there's a chance that some or perhaps even all of the income you get from an annuity will be taxable. Now, if you bought an annuity that supplies retirement income, the percentage of payments that are generated by your principal is tax-free, but the remaining amount is going to be taxable. So, for example, if you bought an annuity for $150,000 and a decade later it's worth $225,000, you'd be responsible for taxes on $75,000 of earned interest. Now, you should also note that the insurance company that sold you the annuity must also articulate what's taxable. Additionally, there are different rules if you purchased your annuity with pre-tax money, like a traditional IRA, for example. In that scenario, of course, 100% of your annuity will be taxed as ordinary income.
Okay. So, in your experience, are the people who work with you often surprised when they sit down and begin to get a sense of just how complicated all their retirement taxes can be?
Well, as with most things in our financial lives, it's different from client to client. I mean, we generally work with people who have a good understanding of how their various retirement income sources will be taxed. But we also meet with people who, while certainly aware that taxes are part of retirement, are still taken aback by just how many ways the government may get some of their retirement income. But the good news is that we can work together to build a financial strategy that seeks to provide retirement income and protect you as much as possible from taxes.
Yeah, we all need protection from taxes, and I know that people are looking for help with this. I'm glad your crew there, your team, does this for your clients. And if our listeners have questions, they can give you a call. How do they get a hold of you, Cole?
Well, Tony, they can give us a call at 715-355-4445, or they can visit our website, retirewithbushka.com. That's retirewithbushka.com.
Do you feel prepared for retirement? Cole Bruner and Sue Bushka work to help people navigate the uncertainties of retirement strategies. If you would like help understanding complex topics like Social Security, tax deferral, or growing your nest egg, visit their website at retirewithbushka.com or give their office a call at 715-355-4445.
Welcome back to Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore. I'm here with our hosts, Cole Bruner and Sue Bushka. Sue and Cole, great show so far today. We've been talking about taxes and your retirement, and it's been information packed. What do you have for us next, Sue?
Well, Tony, that Kiplinger article that I've been speaking about in the last two segments next details taxes on municipal bonds. And this is an area that may be of keen interest to many listeners because interest that's earned on them isn't subject to federal taxes. And interest from bonds that are issued in your home state are also generally exempt from state taxes. Now, make sure you investigate your state laws and reach out to your financial services professional. But don't forget that capital gains may be federally taxable if you choose to sell your municipal bond.
Ah, okay. Municipal bonds sound like they might be a solid addition to a lot of financial strategies, which probably makes them a good thing, again, to discuss with yourself, right, Cole?
Oh, absolutely. We talk about those types of things with our clients all the time. Now, you should next know that ordinary income rates apply to the interest you earn on money market accounts and corporate bonds. Now, additionally, capital gains rates may also apply if you choose to sell any of your corporate or municipal bonds, as we just mentioned. Now, I'm sure many of you listening right now may have savings bonds, and in terms of your federal income taxes, interest on Series EE and I U.S. savings bonds is generally taxable at ordinary income rates in the year they mature or when they're redeemed, whichever occurs first. Now, those with double H bonds report and pay federal taxes on interest annually as they receive payments. The article also explains that interest on U.S. savings bonds is exempt from state and local taxes.
Yeah, that's good to know. Now, Sue, what else can you tell us about savings bonds?
Well, Tony, if your retirement may also include going back to school, you should consider that interest on double E and I savings bonds that you could use to pay your higher education costs. And it may also be tax-free as long as you closely follow certain rules. Now, the bonds must have been purchased after 1989 by a person who was at least 24 years old. Also, they must be redeemed for college, graduate school, or vocational school tuition or fees for the bondholder, their spouse, or their dependents. And furthermore, a grandparent may not use this tax break to help address a grandchild's college tuition unless they claim that the child is a dependent on their federal taxes. Now, the income exclusion has specific limits. This year, it phases out for joint filers with modified adjusted gross incomes between $145,200 and $175,200, and between $96,800 and $111,800 for single filers. Now, the tax-free savings bond provision cannot be used for the same expenses that you use to take other education-focused tax breaks, like the American Opportunity or Lifetime Learning Credits.
Oh, okay. So what about taxes on life insurance payouts?
Ah, good question, Tony. The money that you get as the beneficiary of a life insurance policy when the policyholder dies is typically not taxable. However, tax rules are more complex if you own the policy and surrender it for cash. A financial services professional may be able to help you determine if your proceeds are going to be taxable. Now, things to discuss would be if you're the policyholder who surrendered the life insurance policy for cash, is the amount you received larger than the cost of that policy? Now, if you're the beneficiary, what is the face value of the policy, if specified? And if you're receiving installments, is there a refund or a period certain guarantee? And also, were federal income taxes withheld from the policy's proceeds?
Okay, good questions. And previously, I know we've talked about how a lot of people out there downsize when they retire, downsize their homes, whether it's for the extra money they can get or because they no longer want to maintain a larger home that they raise the kids in. How are home sales taxed?
Well, that's a great question, Tony, especially when you consider that for many retirees, their home is their most valuable asset. Now, thankfully, tax laws often provide significant federal income tax breaks when you sell your primary home for a profit. Now, if you've both owned and used your property as your primary residence for a minimum of 2 out of the last 5 years before the sale, you're permitted to exclude as much as up to $250,000 of the profit from your income. And that amount jumps all the way up to $500,000 for married couples filing jointly. So profits exceeding those $250,000 and $500,000 caps are taxed at long-term capital gain rates.
We're almost out of time. So Cole, one more time, before we go, let our listeners out there know how to get a hold of you. I'm sure they have questions about this, want to get a second opinion on where they're at, or make sure they have a solid retirement income plan in place.
Absolutely, Tony. They can give us a call anytime at 715-355-4445, or they can visit retirewithbushka.com to schedule that complimentary, no obligation consultation.
All right. Well, that sounds great. And listeners, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole.
Thank you for listening to Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Sue and Cole at Bushka Retirement Solutions and Bushka Wealth Management. Call 715-355-4445 or visit them online at retirewithbushka.com. Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Wisconsin. Insurance products and services are offered through Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, and Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. are affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.